Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Sasha.
You're super early. Good girl.
I know. I realized I was so early.
It's okay.
How was your vacation?
Transformational and exhausting at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like doing yoga with Sean for 8 days straight in a room of 60 to 70 people.
Oh, my God.
And then processing
wow.
all the information.
Yeah, that's
on an emotional level. But I'm recovering, actually. I'm really
yeah.
tired. But it's really nice to be in my own bed. And I miss the warm weather. I got to be in my flip-flops every single day.
Anonymous.
I know that we always have an anonymous on. And then
that's
off.
Weird.
I wonder if that's a glitch or that's just somebody spying on us.
Someone's spying.
Yeah. Cool. So thanks for asking. It was great to get out of town for 2 weeks or 10 days.
I bet. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been really challenged with my health, and that's been really that's been my biggest challenge. I've been doing good work, so I'm happy with like all the things that are going on in my life. But that's been the one kind of thing that's been arising. So
with your back?
Yeah, I still can't practice yoga. Just like as you know, as a yoga teacher, you're just like, oh my god, this is the longest I've ever gone without yoga, and I don't even remember like a long, 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 long time. Hi, Francis.
Hi.
How was your trip? Are you asking me or someone else?
Yeah, you.
Me. I should just wait and answer that question when everyone jumps on so you guys
yeah.
can
answer
the story again.
True.
What I told Nicole is it was transformational and exhausting at the same time.
Yeah.
I am so tired, and I'm just beginning to process all the information. Oh, I'm just, it was awesome. I was wearing flip-flops every day, Francis.
I knew you'd be happy out there.
Oh, 85 degrees. Really? Sun was out every single day. Welcome, Brandy. We're just waiting for Olga, and then we'll begin. And I'll do the sharing, too, when we go around the circle. But just to finish, Francis, my cousin said it was the best 2 weeks of weather they've had, like, all
right.
winter. Right? Winter.
Yay.
Their winter is
85-degree winter.
And no humidity.
I'm sorry.
I guess we choose where we live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear your voices. Welcome, Olga.
Hello, everyone.
So we're all here. Jess will not be joining us. She let me know that when we first started. So who would like to ground us this week?
I don't mind doing it. It's brand new. I've done it before, but I don't mind.
That's okay. I think we're all on either our second or third time with such a small, intimate group, so I would love it if you did it. Thank you.
Okay. So welcome, everyone, to the call, and we're going to just take a moment together to arrive from wherever you're coming from. Wherever you're at right now, if you have the opportunity, just sit a little taller, ground down to whatever is touching the earth, and make that connection with the stability of the foundation of the ground. And let yourself just exhale and relax into your body. Receive that fresh inhalation, and just let that fresh exhalation again, connect to the earth as you arrive. Become more available to be completely present for this next hour and a half together on this journey of exploration and learning. If you know that there's something right now that is maybe taking you away from being available, if you could take a deep exhale and release that tension, whether it's physical, emotional tension, out of your body, and invite yourself to really fully arrive more presently, more available for this time that we have together. Softening through the forehead, softening even through the top of your head, being more available for this energy to travel through you and through all of us as we share on this journey together. So when you're ready, take a deep exhale and gently open the eyes.
Thank you so much, Brandy. That was great. So welcome, everyone. I feel like it's been a month when we shoot, when we talk to each other every week and we miss a week. It feels like a lot longer, right? So really great to be back engaged in this process. And so I'd like to go around and just check in with a win, which is basically just a conscious acknowledgement of what you'd like to share. Over the past 2 weeks, any personal challenges, and then hopefully you did the action challenge on page 8 of the yoga supplement. You could choose one of those bullet points and just share. And again, just to be mindful of the time, let's just keep it to around 2 minutes, and when you're done, I'll share with you as well, so I'll participate in this one. So who would like to start us off?
Hi, this is Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
A win. I had a backbend workshop this past weekend that went really well, and I managed to do it despite the fact that I can't personally do my own backbends right now. So that was really cool. And the students really loved it, which brings me to my challenge, which is still that my back is still out. So I haven't practiced yoga in, it's been, I think, 3.5 weeks. And I realize how important it's going to be to maintain a meditation practice and how difficult it's been for me, especially given my schedule, to not have a way to run energy in the way that I'm used to. So that's going to be something that I'm looking at this week. Maybe that'll be part of my coaching session. We'll see.
Don't give her any heads up. Keep everything secret.
Oh, it might change soon.
Exactly. And would you be open to sharing one of the action challenges on page 8?
Yeah, on page 7 and 8.
Well, the challenges are actually on page 8, but the reading was 7 and 8.
Okay. What I have here, what questions or reframing techniques do you use to help others to see honestly where they are? I said feeling questions, like moving people into their feelings and reflecting back to them or repeating back to them, which I guess we call mirroring, in order for them to hear what they're saying, what might be out of alignment for them.
Great. Thanks. And I just wanted to acknowledge and ask a question, acknowledge that you still stepped into your teaching role and doing a workshop on backbends when ironically, your back cannot bend right now. So that's just so perfect, right? The universe
yeah.
just asked you to step up. And so I'm curious, was it just all about verbal cues, or did you have someone come up and demo? Or how did that work for you, just like in a brief sentence or two?
It was exactly that. I just instructed everyone that we would be working with partners and we would look at bodies. And so I picked people out of the group that, and normally I would demo, so it forced me to get out of my habit of demoing and to actually look at the, you know, the students and show, you know, here's a person with tight shoulders, here's a person with tight back, and let's see how we can adjust them so everyone can learn and look. And so, so it was just like the teacher training that I'm actually assisting right now. So it was much more put me in a different position, which felt really good. So, thank you.
That's terrific, and I hope that you continue to heal with your own physical issues and finding other outlets for your energy and your mindfulness-based practice. So thanks, Nicole.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Who would like to go next?
This is Olga. I'll go next. A win for me this week was after you and I, Sasha, shared something with regard to Sean Korn, and then it brought me back to the website of Off the Mat Into the World. So I decided to go to Seattle and do the leadership training. So I'm looking forward to
that. You are kidding me! Oh, my gosh! That is awesome. We have to talk more about that offline. Oh, that's so
okay.
All right, sorry,
yeah.
I'll contain my excitement.
So, yes,
I'm
really excited. Well, I have goosebumps. Yeah, thank you for the response. And then just checking one of the other websites that they have. They have, there's something that's called Yoga 12-Step Recovery Program. And at one time I wanted to be a KSAC certified. Because I had a brother who passed away due to alcoholism. So I'm really interested in that area. And so one thing opened to the other, and it's just opening up different things for me. And I'm really excited of, going into this particular area and doing something maybe in the yoga studio where I sub. So I have to talk to the owner about it. So, yeah, that's the positive things that happened in the past 2 weeks. And on page 8, what happens when our beliefs and our actions are out of alignment? Stress is the first thing that comes to mind, not realizing our truth. It creates anxiety, restlessness, that's what answering that particular question. You just want us to answer one, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And just a little bit more excitement, Nikki Myers, who runs the 12-step recovery program, is a personal friend of mine through Off the Mat, and she does phenomenal work. So, and she would be probably open to coming to your studio and doing a workshop. So again, just so appreciate you stepping out and exploring other ways to grow, not only personally but professionally. And Off the Mat is a great place to start. So very cool. We'll talk more.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Brandy or Francis?
This is Francis. I can go.
Great.
My win this week, I think, was just yesterday teaching. It was one of those days where everything felt, I just felt strong, I guess, not in a sense of like I taught an amazing class or anything, but just my energy was there. Like I felt connected more than ever with my students, and the words that came out of my mouth, I didn't really even think about it. It just kind of flowed, and it was just kind of in the moment. And it's, it's one of those once in a while classes that don't happen all the time for me. So it's just, it was nice to feel that flow when I was teaching yesterday. my challenge this week is I think I'm starting to get sick. So I've had this headache for a couple of days, so I'm kind of fighting that. And the action challenges, what questions or reframing techniques do you use to help others see honestly where they are? I think just in practice coaching with a friend of mine that I've been the last couple weeks, and then Nicole and I had a practice session a couple weeks ago, and then just in talking to random people this last week, the one question that I think I find myself asking a lot more is, what does that look like for you? And I think it just opens the door for that person to explore on their own what would feel comfortable and what would look right for them. So I think that's been a powerful question.
Thanks, Frances. That is absolutely a powerful question, and you can use that, all of you can use that in all places in your life. Just, you know, see how that lands with whoever you're talking to. It just immediately takes them into a place of deep inquiry and exploration, and kind of puts the onus on them to come up with their own answers that we know that they already have, right? So very cool. And congratulations on having such a wonderful class yesterday. What was different? Like, what do you attribute the reason why that class flowed with such strong energy for you? And then the follow-up question is, you know, you mentioned that it could be, and this may be just something to sit with, that it's that once-in-a-while class. And what would it look like? Sorry, you just shared that with me and taught me. What would it look like if Frances showed up in that capacity all the time or most of the time?
I think a lot of it had to do with the students in the room and the energy that was kind of created by that group or those groups. Because I noticed that I often feed off of that energy when I teach. So I think that was the main piece of it. So I don't know what that would look like all the time. I have to sit on that.
Okay. That's fair enough. That's great. Thanks,
good question,
Frances.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah. Brandy, what would you like to share?
Okay, so my win this week was I gave myself the chance to read a novel not related to anything about work, which is just like a real treat. Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. And so that was my win, just giving myself permission to unwind completely from work. And then for the action challenge, I also like that question. What questions or reframing techniques do you use to help others see honestly where they are? And I actually like that question, what is missing for you right now? When a lot of people are expressing themselves and there's a sense of doubt within it or underlying, you know, not being satisfied. So I like that question as a reframing question or something that will bring them into awareness. And that's it.
Awesome. That's great. So one question for you around your sharing. How does it serve you when you totally unplug?
It's very nourishing. Very, you know, nourishing.
And how does it help you step into other places in your life? What are the shifts that you see?
Just acknowledging that importance for everybody to hold also a space where they could completely, you know, allow themselves time to relax, you know, really relax. Very important to incorporate into living.
Right. And it's so important for all of us, not just our students and our clients, you know, just to remodel this. And if we model it, you know, our students and clients are going to, you know, see it in us. And continuing to find that balance is incredibly important. So I'm going to share because I'm still floating. I didn't even need an airplane to come home. I just rode on the clouds home. So it was an amazing, transformational, and exhausting experience in Florida. If you ever had an opportunity to study with Sean, I couldn't recommend that in any greater way than just go. And she's just so powerful and so transparent and so connected, and she gets it, and it's all about spirit and just taking everything beyond the physical asana, as we all know is important. I am exhausted, though, on a physical level. I practiced, 8 days straight in a very big room with lots of energy. And if you've ever taken Sean's class, you know how intense it is. So on a physical level, I'm exhausted, getting massage today. And then on an emotional level, I'm processing all the information in the 3/4 of a journal of notes that I took. And so I'm just landing, and I'm really grateful. But I think, again, it comes back to what Brandy said. It's finding that balance. So I was fully engaged for 10 days and or 8 days, excuse me. And then I'm back and struggling a little bit, reintegrating back into my life. I haven't taught a class yet, and tomorrow will be my first class in 2 weeks. And I'm curious how I'm going to show up in terms of the language and the sequencing that I decided to do after being in her teacher training for a week. So that's my challenge. And I'm just getting lots of rest and lots of self-care. So I know some of you had asked how the trip was, so I wanted to just share that and hope that's okay. All right. Let's move on into our agenda for today. Does anyone have any questions on the reading material?
No.
Great. All right. And so today we are going to begin on the bottom of page 99, top of page 100. So we're going to talk, we're going to take the number 4, the tool, the fourth tool, the simple coaching model, framing the session, and sort of break that down a little bit. Francis, do you mind reading, starting at the bottom of page 99, framing the session, so we can just review this section and just read the whole thing?
Sure.
Thanks.
After the client's shift is acknowledged, the mentor coach may explore commitment or encourage the client to put new awareness into action that would further the goal. The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. A formal stated action plan by the client allows both coach and client to know exactly what the client's commitment is and how success will be measured. Both parties are clearly and specifically focused on the success map for that week. A, acknowledge the shift the client has just made. B, check the client's commitment to moving forward. C, request action from the client. What actions are you taking away from the session? What accomplishment if done this week would result in significant improvement? Are you willing to do it? D, have the client specify a time frame for the intention.
Great. Thank you, Frances. So would someone like to share their understanding of what this is? And just I want to deepen how important this tool is for moving forward with the client's agenda. So does anybody want to share or have any questions around this particular piece?
Yeah, I think it's Brandy. I think that it's really so helpful to, this is like almost like the summary of the session, and to really acknowledge the work that the client made. And, to, again, reinforce their commitment to moving forward or committing to an action that they choose or whatever it is that they're choosing to move forward with. And also, the time frames, are important, that, it's done within the time frame that was loaded for that specific action step. So, you know, it's just like a very laying out a very clear picture for the client and also giving them reinforcement, you know, acknowledging their shift that they made during the session. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. It's just well put. And for you, if you were the client, how would this particular tool help you in your forward movement?
It would give me clarity. And then hopefully also inspiration, because I figured it out on my own, and it was coming from something within me. And then having, you know, this time frame would also help me maybe stay on point in moving forward.
Awesome. So just to add on to what Brandy was saying, so as coaches, we hold the space so that the client may decide if and how they want to change. Okay, so they're the ones deciding. And, you know, having this commitment to their homework, this commitment to moving forward, being held accountable is the distinguishing feature of coaching. So we talked in the very first session, discerning the difference between coaching and therapy, and this collaborative process. When you're looking at this particular piece and putting someone in action is really what makes the difference with this collaborative relationship, is keeping them in action and accountable. Accountable is a huge, huge piece of this. And as you go forward with a coach, a client, and your relationship with them, and we talked about this a little bit too, if your client is not showing up and committing to the things that they committed to, like on a previous call, and they're constantly showing up without doing the work, that's a place to look to see if the relationship is still something that you both want. It's a place to revisit the commitment to the alliance between coach and client. So these are the distinguishing features. And I kind of call this piece framing the masterpiece, right? They're putting a framework around moving into the direction that they want to go. I would love for someone to share a parallel to this type of work, this type of movement, the accountability piece, the commitment to allowing the client to decide if and how they want to change on the yoga mat. So we're always tying it back into the principles of yoga. Anybody want to take a stab at that? So I'm not sure if I need to clarify the question, but how could you help a student in a yoga practice move forward? Maybe they're working on a certain asana, right? And what could be some tools that you could give them to be able to practice that, or maybe even inquire what works for them so that they can build towards accomplishing that particular asana.
It's Brandy. I mean, I could go. I don't know if no one wants to go.
Mm.
Does someone else
go ahead? Go ahead. Everybody will chime in at some point.
So, yeah, well, it's similar, I guess, in the same way that you would try, if they want to work on opening up their shoulders and they have really stiff shoulders, then you would help them find, you know, some gentle movements and show them these gentle movements and ask them if they have an opportunity to practice this at home, you know, during the week, if they're coming to a weekly class. Could they build a home practice? Could they set a time aside to practice this basic shoulder opener so eventually, you know, they could be more open and to start to develop a home practice on their own, something like that.
That's great. It's a perfect example. Perfect example. Just holding your student accountable. Anyone else have an example? maybe something that you've actually experienced in your own practice. It doesn't necessarily have to be something with your student. It could be your own experience.
This is Olga. I've always been very shy as a child and even as an adult. And I've gotten through a lot of challenges to break out of that. And one of the things that I felt with yoga was in like ujjayi practice and pranayama, focusing, you know, on my fifth chakra. And doing certain asanas to help that, but being very cognizant to, you know, like opening of the throat and not holding back and speaking from my truth. And so that awareness of breath and the connection, you know, body, mind, and spirit, you know, with my experience in the past 5 years is, you know, just allowing me to open, you know, more and more. And I'm still in that process, and I think that yoga has helped me tremendously with that.
That's so great. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So any questions before we move on from this piece and how to sort of integrate it on framing the session? Because this is what we'll be listening for. Along with the other tools, but mostly this one as we do the Coach the Coach demo later. Everything, speak up if it's not clear, if everything's clear and there's silence, we'll move on. Okay, great. So and before we move on, I just want to make sure that everything is making sense to you guys in terms of the tools for the simple coaching model. Like we're going in sequential order. Each one builds on the previous one. Up to this point, are there any questions, concerns on any four that we've discussed so far? Okay, great. Let's turn to page 131. So as you find your way to that page, you know what I think I've shared with you over previous conversations and calls is this whole program is actually synthesizing yoga and coaching. And a great question, or just to get people to think, to get them to move forward, is what will be helpful moving forward for your professional growth? So if you ever find yourself stuck with a client, I've, you know, given you a list of, and you guys are finding what resonates most with you in terms of powerful questions. But that question can be used with a student in your yoga studio, in your yoga class, or with a client in the coaching model. What will be helpful moving forward for your professional growth? And so it kind of helps put the framework around their agenda and how they're going to take some steps to get there. What we found and what I've learned, you know, from studying with Dr. Dave in this simple coaching model is one of the most common addictions is people focus on problem solving. And it gives them something to focus on. And so what we're doing here is, again, moving into possibility thinking, which opens the door to a new way of looking at things, right? So they get to experience the effectiveness. And just like we do modifications in the asana, you can totally use modifications here in working with your clients to sort of set the framework. Would anyone want to share a modification or breaking down how the client could, if they're stuck, if they want to move forward but they can't actually put the framework around how they want to move forward, because remember, it has to come from them. Are there some powerful questions or some tools or some modifications, so to speak, that you could use to help them get some clarity?
You know, the question was, Brandy, that popped to my mind is, you know, that it doesn't take away a lot of people, you know, when they could easily get overwhelmed. So a question would be, you know, what is a possibility for you to do, you know, right now? You know, like, what is the possibility for you to do right now to move towards this goal, like one little step?
Mm-hmm.
To really break it down to bringing and coming for them the sense of possibility without the overwhelm. So, you know, what is available for you right now to make that shift? Something in that direction.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, and that's a great example, is breaking it down into bite-sized chunks, right? Because if something is too big, if it's too lofty, it feels sometimes like overwhelm, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get there? How am I going to ever do bakasana? You know, I can't even get my feet off the ground. I can't even, whatever it is, little baby steps. It's the same thing with, say, the client's, you know, goal or specifying their agenda is something like, for example, just, this is a random example, just writing a book. You don't write a book that is too big to take in. You have to break it down into bite-sized chunks and put it into a framework or a structure that keeps the client or the student in action. So that's a great parallel. Does anyone else have anything to add to that, how you can modify with your coaching clients?
Hi, this is Nicole. I was thinking just the SMART goal exercise that we did was so helpful, and I guess that's the same thing, is breaking it down into chunks but giving it a time specificity, having it be really measurable, actionable, and breaking it down. So
yes,
I guess,
totally
yeah.
Agree. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Go ahead.
Were you finished?
Yeah, I was finished. Yeah.
Okay. I completely agree. However, just to add on, the SMART goals tend to be a little bit more longer range, even though we're doing the three initiatives. And so that's a great place to start, but I would really streamline it down to what their action is going to be between sessions.
Gotcha.
Not only in working towards their goals, but even modify that a bit more.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because just consider the way that the four of you do, how you do your best work. We all have different modalities of learning, right? And so some people like the bigger, broad range picture. Some people like the smaller, simpler, more immediate gratification steps. And I think it's really important to hold the container, to hold the space for both, to keep that bigger vision of what they want, that bigger picture, and also keep them in action. And it's the same thing as in terms of my mind when you're sequencing a yoga class. You know, you could have the peak posture be that bigger vision of the class, that what you're ultimately going towards, and everything up to that point, the sun salutes, the warm-ups, you know, the effectiveness and the intelligence of sequencing to open up the right muscle groups for the peak posture. Do you see how that correlates building to something else but staying in action immediately?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great. Okay. And another thing I wanted to share is that are you guys familiar with shrinking the change? I think we read about that on 1 week. I'm not sure when. But basically, it's modifying one piece of behavior. So what resonates with your clients in their experience of doing something new? So obviously making change can be scary. It can be paralyzing. It can be overwhelming, right? So we always want to celebrate and validate the changes that they make, even in the smallest sense. Because what we're doing is reflecting back to them and acknowledging that they're incorporating change as part of their identity. Okay? And so acknowledging the small successes every step along the way. Wow, you didn't completely get into crow pose, but how great was it that you got, one foot off the ground last week? You know, you couldn't lift a foot off the ground. You know, something like that. Just very simple acknowledgement to create success. And in terms of that piece, acknowledging small successes, can anyone share an experience that they've had where that has really, really served you in keeping you accountable and keeping you in action?
I could share. I'm a big sharer today, Brandy.
Great, thanks.
I had an experience. I've been working a lot with compassion and self-compassion this past little while, and I had an experience of just modifying my behavior when I was faced with a relationship with my brother, which has a lot of pain in it. And I just held the space of compassion instead of my old behavior of reactivity. And it just was so liberating. You know, it was so liberating for me to be able to be really non-judgmental and to be compassionate towards him instead of my old reactive judgmental self. And it was just huge. It was huge. So, yeah.
That is huge. Was that... do you feel like it's something that just came to you at that moment, or did you have a conscious decision around how you wanted to engage with your brother?
It wasn't that it was a conscious decision. I think it's just like an accumulation of just inner, you know, work happening within my practices and then being able to release old patterns of reactivity. And then, you know, being faced by an old reactive pattern and being aware enough not to act upon it.
Wow. That's pretty big, Brandy. I just wanted to acknowledge that. Congratulations. Anyone else want to share? You guys are super quiet today. Everything okay? Maybe you're all on mute. Okay. Is everyone still there? Just checking in? Give me a yes.
Yes.
Okay. Great. So just a little bit more on that point, and again, asking another question. So say you're in this process of framing the session, keeping your client accountable, holding the space for their growth with acknowledgement of their successes and their small baby steps. What if discomfort comes up? What are some tools you can use in this process if you're working with your client, again, on the mat or off? And your client is finding discomfort with changing or moving, what are some tools that you have that you can use to keep them moving forward?
Now, this is Olga. I'm following up with what Brandy said about the possibility of movement now, like what they, you know, the bite-sized chunks that you're, you know, break down. Maybe asking a question of what feels best between now and next week from what we just discussed, so that the client is able to choose, you know, what they're committed or willing to do for that week.
Yes, that would absolutely work. And then I guess what I'm seeking from any of you or all of you is, what's the value? What's the benefit of exploring the discomfort, the resistance, the fear, what's holding them back?
Do you want us to answer you?
I would love it.
Okay, a minute.
Can you ask the question? I'm sorry, Brandy.
Okay, well,
you know, yeah, like, where do you feel stuck? Or, I mean, if you feel that, where is the resistance?
So are you talking about somatically?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love that. I love that. I always default to that. Just, again, getting them connected. Typically when we're in fear and overwhelm and stress and discomfort, we're in our heads, right? There's a disconnect to our
uh-huh.
heart. So bringing it back to a somatic experience on the mat or off. And, again, realizing that our coaching clients may not have the experience to draw from of a mindfulness-based practice. So you might want to frame it in a different way. But absolutely, where is the discomfort? Where do you feel it in your body? Where in the past have you felt like that before? So that's an example of where past experiences, again, we're not going back and healing trauma. We're just actually asking the client to reflect back on a similar pattern that may have kept them stuck or may have move them forward just through that particular discomfort or that experience. Good. So asking powerful questions and not being reticent to, as coaches or as yoga teachers, to challenge your clients a little bit. Like, where is that discomfort? You know, and we have to know the balance between pushing too much and then challenge and not being challenged enough. Any questions on that piece?
Yeah, this is Olga. I am thinking of a situation where, you know, somebody's trying so hard to get into a headstand. And, you know, by asking, you know, where is the discomfort? Because there might be a physical discomfort, but yet the person's not paying attention to it because their ego or their mind is telling them, you know, they have to get up because they want to be like the most of the people in the class, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just ask the question, where is the discomfort, the person might end up saying, you know, I have discomfort in my neck, you know. And so then you can say, okay, then now we have to break this down. And, you know, maybe just start with hair pose or something, or just even something as simple as Sphinx or, you know, Dolphin, you know, depending on what the client is responding. So, yeah, I could see how powerful that would be, not only in the coaching, but as well as in, you know, like when you're in your yoga class.
Absolutely. That's a great example. And it encourages the client or the student in this case, in this example, to really check in, to check in with themselves, to check in with their physical body, to check in with any limitations that they have physically And then also to check in with their ego. Are they putting themselves in an unsafe place because their ego says that they have to do what everyone surrounding them is doing? So that's a great learning environment. And challenging sometimes, you know, to work with students who really want to do what everyone else is doing. But it's all in the delivery. It's all in how you set up the class, and it's all in the languaging that you use. And the same applies with working with your clients. Great. So just as we go forward, just know that comfortable and confident is not a place that we begin, right? If we're in stepping into a collaborative relationship with a coach, yes, we're healthy, we're emotionally healthy, and we're in a stuck place and we want to move forward. But if we were completely comfortable and completely confident, we probably wouldn't need a coach, right? So the coach is there to allow us a safe container to explore places of discomfort, places that we may lack some confidence, and through the process of framing the session, all these tools that we're using, not just framing the session, to keep the client held accountable, to keep them in forward movement, to hold their agenda beyond and above anything else is huge. But just realizing, especially in a yoga parallel, that beginning students, right? What are some qualities or some experiences that you've seen or been a part of when a brand new yogi comes to their mat for the very first time? What do you see?
This is Frances. One of the things that I've noticed is that they're completely in their head. So they're constantly looking around, and a common thing, too, is that they're always, maybe not always, but they come into the room just nervous about how they're going to do, I guess. So it's like a performance thing, almost.
And so you being their teacher, how do you set the context or set the container for their success?
Even just at the front desk, just making them feel comfortable and letting them know what to expect. And if it's, because we teach heated classes, so if it's a heat issue, just letting them know where they might be more comfortable for their first class. And then usually when I walk into the class, one of the main things I tell them is to just have fun with it. So just making it a little more lighthearted and not as serious as most people come in and expect it to be.
Mm. And when you've done that, what's been typically the results for that particular student?
You'll usually see relief on their face when you're like, just have fun, like sit down whenever you want to. You don't have to do everything. And they're kind of like, okay. And it's almost like you can see their body kind of sigh in relief.
Yeah.
And then they just, you know, they're more successful, or they feel more successful in class.
Right. Thanks, Frances. And I've worked behind the desk with you, and I've seen you do that so beautifully all the time. It's just making that student feel comfortable and welcomed and relaxed, and it's almost like, oh, they can take a deep breath. So I'm going to challenge you now to just translate what you said to how you can frame that with a coaching client, who might feel that they're in discomfort, who might feel that they're not confident, like they don't know where they're going, they don't know what their agenda is.
I guess I would first encourage them to just take a deep breath and then just explore the space that they're currently in. So what they're feeling, where they're feeling it. And getting them more present into the moment at hand. And in that way, they can let go of everything else that might be crowding their brains. So just focusing on the present and then working from there.
And how do you think that would result if you're working with someone who does not have a yoga practice, a meditation practice, may not even have had an experience of deep spiritual nourishment in their life? Do you think those same tools would serve them?
I think the breathing part would, just because that's a physical thing. I think everyone just has the ability to feel calmer when you start to focus on the breath, even if it's not related to a spiritual practice or a yoga practice. And I think that what I've noticed is that the breath even calms the mind. So I think that would allow the thoughts to calm and settle. And then from there, just take those baby steps and, you know, tap into how they're feeling. And it doesn't have to be related to any sort of a spiritual practice, but just, so what are you thinking now? So, you know, and then just kind of build from there.
That's so brilliant. You know, we all know how to breathe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so just being mindful of the breath can bring your client into the present moment. That's great. That's just simple. It's a simple, easy, accessible tool that you can use with anyone at any time. It's going to create less of a sense of overwhelm and feel free at any point in time. It doesn't have to be in the beginning when you're doing the grounding, if you choose to do a grounding with your clients. It could be at any point when the tension feels like it's getting a bit heavy, when the energy feels, you know, palpable, and just checking in and using your tools, using your intuition, using, you have to tap into all of these qualities, especially energetically, because most of the coaching sessions are done on the phone. That doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. So you don't have this visual of what your client is doing in their body language, but you can gain a sense of their breath, their energy, their intonation, all those other things. So feel free. And in fact, I totally encourage you guys to bring in a pause somewhere in your session just to reflect, just to take a moment, because a lot of times people will just start talking like for an hour and they don't even come up for air. So using your tools as a yoga teacher to bring in a little bit of mindfulness work where it doesn't even have to be connected to spirituality. And who knows, by doing this kind of work, it may incite your client to want to step into yoga and meditation, which we all know the benefits of. Great. Any other thoughts on tools you could use for beginners or for a client that feels, you know, a lack of confidence or uncomfortable in the session?
It's Brandy. I think just a tool is to, you know, really at the beginning of the session, to offer them that you're there to support them. And just to really make that clear to them that, you know, you're there as their support.
Mm. And maybe would you think that giving them permission to just show up as they are and who they are and that it's all okay, mm-hmm. How do you think that that would make them feel?
A sense of acceptance, a place, you know, of neutrality, of non-judgment, and being able to show up without any of those, that you're there to listen, support, not judge, accept whatever is being offered that they want to share.
Absolutely. And it's all part of the the relationship of setting up a safe, nurturing, yet challenging and accountable environment to where the client can show up in their full authenticity, to know that what the conversation, the dialogue that's going on between coach and client is confidential, that they feel supported, they feel heard, they feel seen. And with those tools, you'd be amazed at what can show up. So you're giving, I feel, we are giving a gift to not only our students on the mat, with allowing them permission to be exactly who they are at that exact time, but especially with our clients, to allow them that freedom, that liberation, that understanding that it's all okay. Great. Anything else anyone wants to add before we drop into our Coach the Coach session?
I have a question that you brought up earlier, Sasha, and I just, you know, that, or that you point out, you know, knowing the balance between pushing too much or not challenging enough. So how would you know this if, you know, how do you, is it like intuition? Is it based on your intuition and their feedback?
I think both are important. And then the third piece that I would check in with is, am I hijacking their agenda? Okay, just checking in with them, clarifying the agenda. Are we on track? Are we moving in the direction? So if the client feels, I think it's a lot of it is intuition. You know, if the client is, you can check in. Is this piece of homework challenging enough for you? Do you want more? Do you want less? What works? What's manageable? They'll tell you. They'll tell you exactly what works. Okay, is that helpful?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right. So who would like to please list without your book the 5 steps of the simple coaching model?
I'll go ahead and do it. This is Frances.
Thanks, Frances.
Specify the client's agenda. Determine useful intervention moments. Shift their perspective. Frame the session and follow up.
Great. So today we'll be listening for all of those, but especially listening for number 4, framing the session, which we just spent some time getting clearer on. So Frances is going to be our coach, coaching Nicole, and Brandy will be our observer. So everyone besides Frances and Nicole, just hit *6 or mute the mic on your computer. Ladies, have a great session. Watch your time and just give us a minute to get off.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. What would you like to focus on today? How's everything going?
Everything is, I would say, a little bit frustrating right now for me. I know, well, based on our last coaching call, you had asked me to do a budget, which was a great process, and I actually did do that budget. And it was the budget was to create money in my finances for travel for my own personal time, which was one of my goals, is to create more personal time. And then I ended up this week going to get help for my back. And found out that I'm going to have to spend a bit of money in order to correct some pretty huge spinal misalignments that I've been living with for the last 6 years. So the money that I thought I could put aside is now going towards medical bills. And even those are higher than I expected. And so I guess one is I'm a little frustrated that now the money is being redirected towards that. And number two, feeling a little overwhelmed that I'm going to have to try to get more clients, which I don't really have time for unless I find another solution. So it's kind of like this cyclical battle that I'm having between trying to make time for myself and not making enough money and having to then book all my time to make more money, and thus the cycle continues. So frustration, I think, is what I'm feeling today.
Okay. So it sounds like your frustration that you're feeling is coming from a couple things. Your injury and the fact that you're going to need to spend some money to work on that. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you don't feel like you have enough time to fit more clients in your schedule, which is what you would need to build more finances.
Yeah.
Which sounds like that's what you would like to do as well.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's understandable how it can feel really frustrating being in that cycle. What's one thing that you feel like you would want to look at today?
Probably to look at the possibility of calming the frustration, I think, more than anything, just getting out of that feeling.
Perfect. What are some practices that you've used in the past to get out of frustrating moments that you can remember?
Meditation, I would say, and breath work probably. Usually it would be my yoga practice, but those two things, in lieu of the fact that I'm not able to physically practice yoga, I would say breath and meditation.
Okay. So since the yoga, the physical yoga practice is not available to you right now, is the meditation practice something that you feel like would be enough of a replacement for that to calm your frustration?
I think so. I have been meditating, and I'm still feeling a little bit of anxiety. So I'm wondering, I know you have to focus on this frustration. I do feel like if I meditate, it does relieve it temporarily. But maybe the focus, maybe I could ask that we brainstorm on ideas or next steps for how it might look for me to manifest. I think more of the focus might be for me to manifest one private client that could pay for those sessions with a chiropractor per week, maybe. That would help.
Yes, for sure. That sounds great. So what would that look like for you? In the past, I guess, let me rephrase that question. Have you manifested clients in the past?
I have, and it's been a while. It's been about 2 years since I've actually taken on new clients. My current clients have been traveling a lot, so they've been very inconsistent, which compounds perhaps my frustration. So I haven't reached out to try to get new clients. I'm kind of in this place of wondering if I need new clients or if I just need to get my current clients to commit to their schedules with me.
which one sounds better to you? Getting your current clients to commit or to reach out to new clients?
Probably to get my current clients to commit. So since they're already in my schedule, and then that would free up time for me to still keep that time for myself without adding more to my plate.
That sounds great. And tell me, what would that look like for you to get your current clients to commit?
I think I have a little fear around that, where one of my clients, he just travels a lot with his job. He's not the one that I'm as most concerned about, but there is one of my clients that's been consistently canceling, and I question her commitment to yoga in general. And my fear is if I approach her with that she might cancel and completely as a client.
And if that happened, then what would your next step be from there?
I guess to get another client to replace her that's committed to the yoga practice.
Would you like to explore what that would look like, getting a new client?
Yeah. Maybe some next steps and how that might look.
What would that look like for you? What would be a reasonable next step?
I think, in looking at it, that one thing that I thought of recently that I thought might be a good idea would be to start talking about what privates are in classes. Mm-hmm. I've seen other of my yoga teachers do this where they say, and, you know, if I... But they use examples of, well, when I meet with my private clients, I tell them X, Y, Z. Or if you wanted to explore this further, you know, these types of things could be worked out in private sessions. So just bringing it up to my students, I don't tend to bring that up. So that might open up a door, possibly, for private sessions with someone.
Awesome. How does that feel, thinking about doing that?
It feels pretty natural. It also feels a little like it could be more futuristic and not as immediate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of the result of that. Mm-hmm. So... I guess I'm trying to think of, maybe I can ask you to help me brainstorm or suggest ways that I might find a more immediate solution.
For sure. What would a more immediate solution look like? Or perhaps a pathway to that?
Mm-hmm. It could be following up with certain people that have reached out to me who haven't booked sessions to see if they're ready. I have had students reach out and say, I'd like to do private sessions, and then they've fallen away again, and maybe just following up with them using some of the coaching tools and seeing how they're feeling, and do they feel like they're progressing in their practice. Do they feel like sessions might be available to them at this point? Or, you know, maybe even considering talking to them about their finances if that was an objection, and seeing if there's something that we can do to create a plan for them.
You sound really confident in that. Does that feel good to you?
Yeah, that actually does feel
awesome.
Good for me. Mm-hmm.
What would be one way that you could follow up with them, or what is one way that you would follow up with them?
A lot of these students, I only have their email, so I would probably just email them at this point and or try to get their phone number so I could talk to them further about it. I'll probably definitely reach out by email. I'm thinking I could reach out to them and also to current students if I have current students' emails and just kind of check in with some specific people or even some of them actually do still go to my classes, so I could actually talk to them in class.
Nice. And it sounds like you have a few different ways of communicating with current students to follow up on possible private sessions.
Yeah.
Is that something you're comfortable to committing to doing?
Yeah, I am committed to doing that. I think that would be a great next step. It feels like it's something more immediate for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Would you like to say an I statement around that?
Sure. I am committed to reaching out either by email, phone, or in person with a select few students who have expressed interest in private sessions with me. And I can do that this week.
Great. How does that feel?
I feel actually a bit of relief. Thank you. I feel like I'm breathing again.
Nice.
That feels good, actually. It feels good. I have a sigh of relief that kind of came off of my shoulders, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Awesome. Would you be okay if we followed up on that, if I followed up with you maybe on Saturday with that?
Yeah, I would. I would like to follow up with you on Saturday.
Awesome. Then we will definitely set that time for that.
Great.
Well, thank you, Nicole, for your efforts and sharing and all that.
Thank you.
And I will, I'll talk to you Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right. If everyone could come off mute. Thanks, ladies. That was publishable. And to the minute, I just might add, like, exactly 15 minutes. That's just brilliant. All right. Brandy, would you facilitate the feedback conversation, please?
Sure. So congratulations to both of you. And it was really great to observe. It was also a good thing to observe because it seemed like, Nicole, you had many things, you weren't exactly sure what was the most important for you to be working with. And I like the way that Frances was going back and forth and kept checking in with you. It's like, this is what you want to work on. No, I don't want to work on that. You want to work on this? No, I don't want to work on this. So it was like just a nice thing to observe because like 10 minutes was going back and forth to get to actually the point of the real thing that you want to work on. And you also really vocalized that, Nicole. You're like, no, I don't want to work on this. I don't want to work on this. And that one feels right. And I think Frances was patient. So it was interesting. I think, Frances sort of sat back a little bit while, asking you some questions while you were figuring out what was most important for you to really be taking away from the session that you guys worked through. I did notice, though, Frances, that you use the word very often, awesome, like the same word, awesome, awesome, good, good, like this very short, like little words, just a little affirmations of that good, good, or so Nicole felt that she was moving in a maybe positive direction. And I think that Nicole needed to hear that. I think that Nicole was waiting to hear that she was moving in a good direction, just that reflection of empathy or, that she's moving in that right direction. And I think, at the end, you really got to the that she that, Nicole, that you had all these resources that were actually available for you. You came up on your own, that you had, you know, these past clients that approached you and, you know, the possibility of mentioning it in class and then the possibility of reaching out to people that are even presently in class. Maybe that could have been defined, like, the three different groups a little bit more, that these are your three target groups, how you're going to approach them, and really set that clear, which I think you did make an affirmation, you know, about it. And then just the time frame, maybe when that email was going out. Like you said, you guys will speak on Saturday, but, you know, just to really, like, say, okay, tomorrow, you know, Saturday's not that far away. So was your commitment, just to really clarify the time of that intention when it was going out.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't 100% clear to me when that action step was taking place. Like the three actions or the three availability of your clients could have been really specifically, you know, mentioned. So it was so clear to you, more crystal clear possibility of holding that and knowing who the possible clientele are. And then just the time frame when you were sitting down to write that email. Just the timing of it, be a little bit more clear before you guys got off the call. But I think you guys did a good job. Congratulations.
Thanks, Brandy. That's great insight. I'm going to ask you if you felt like Francis was able to reach and use all five tools of the Simple Coaching Model.
I think she asked a lot of open-ended questions. I don't know if they were always exactly in sync with what was happening. I'm not sure. Some of them were stronger. You know, we're all new to this. And
so I'm going to interrupt for a second so I can clarify my question better. Do you think that Francis was able to use the five steps, so specifying the client's agenda, determining useful intervention? Okay. I just want to make sure you and I were on the same page. Great. What was the aha moment to you? What did you hear in determining useful intervention moments?
That Nicole had the tools to build these private clientele. And the aha moment is also when it was when she said that this wasn't going in the right direction, going to this one client who's always canceling. And then Frances said, well, should we look at the possibility of maybe going towards a new client, which Nicole, I think, was hesitant about. And then towards the end of the session, she felt more confident about looking at that with Frances. And Frances brought that up for her. She's like, should we look at that possibility of reaching for a new client, and how would that look for you? And I think then that was like the aha moment that she actually had resources and somehow more confidence was being built up in her to go for that. Cool.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. Olga, what are your thoughts and some feedback for Francis? And the group?
Yeah, just listening to both of them going back and forth, I really felt that Francis was just keeping Nicole whole and resourceful with these powerful questions. And, you know, I saw how Nicole just, you know, came up, you know, with all these possibilities based on those powerful questions. That's, you know, what I got from this call. I mean, even when Nicole said, you know, I'd like to brainstorm, Frances still came back with a question, you know, what would that look like for you, you know, just brainstorming instead of, you know, trying to figure it out herself or giving, you know, Nicole ideas or anything like that, you know. It was all about Nicole's resources, whatever it was, and I think it was awesome. it was really a great learning in the call. The thing at the end, like what Brandy said, you know, maybe being more specific as far as, you know, the time to follow up you know, on Saturday, you know, what time is a good time for you, or maybe giving two options, you know, things like that, so that, you know, Nicole would know for sure, you know, what time Frances would be doing the follow-up.
Okay. Thanks for demonstrating such great listening skills, Olga, and we all now clearly know what Frances' favorite powerful question is. And I'm not going to tease you when I see you, Frances, but, you know, just saying. Okay. Nicole, how was that for you? What did you learn? What did you do?
Wow. I mean, I learned a lot. I realized that I send myself in spinning cycles in my head where I could branch off in 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 different directions, and that's really where I get caught. And I thought that Frances did such a wonderful job of, she continued to find these crossroads for me where she offered me, you know, it was almost like make a decision, you know, you could go this way or you could go this way. And then I would follow that branch and I'd come to another crossroads, okay, you can go this way or this way. So in my head, I was almost visualizing going down a road and getting to a fork. And Frances would say, well, which side do you want to go in? And I would go down that road, and then I'd come to another fork, and I kept going. And so she just kept a really beautiful container for me to just keep exploring these different paths until I got to one that felt really good. And I agree that that moment of kind of we could have gone down the, you know, the road of approaching my current client and some of that fear, but she chose possibility. And what I liked about that is it did without hijacking the session, because I did find myself trying to ask for advice, and then she didn't allow me to, which was good. It was like, no, you've got to look inside and see what your answers are. And she could have gone in a different direction, and she didn't. And I like that she didn't, because it really forced me to find my own resourcefulness and empower myself, which I think is really the beauty of being a strong coach, is knowing that you're not asking necessarily for advice. You're trying to come up with your own resources, and they're there to guide you towards your own empowerment, which I think she did really beautifully. So. And just so everyone knows, Frances and I are meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have a standing call, so that's why she probably didn't have the time. So we meet at 8 o'clock on Saturdays. So
Oh, that's great. And before I direct the next set of questions to Frances or give her some time, was there anything else that you needed from Frances to make this an even more powerful coaching session for you?
I hear what Brandy was saying. That probably could have been maybe an action step, like what day and time might you do this email or make this expression in your class or whatever it was. So that would, I guess, yeah, maybe the time element. But other than that, I felt like it was such a strong session. I was really, really so blessed by it, actually.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Frances, how does it feel to get this feedback from your peers?
Really good. I think, I totally agree with Brandy and Nicole with the specific action item and time.
Okay, I'm going to pause you.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to get this incredible feedback from your peers? How does it feel in your body, in you, in receiving?
It feels good.
There you go. Awesome. Now you can go on.
I think that it would have been really helpful to get the specific time and maybe even a person that Nicole had in mind to contact, just at least one person, just as a baby step for her to take. I felt like Nicole was a really easy client in a lot of ways, because she, there were a few different directions she wanted to go, it's like she always knew which direction she wanted to take, and she did a great job as a client directing the session too,
and asking if we could brainstorm different things and being vocal about that. So I really appreciated that. And she made it really easy. So I just kind of sat back and let her kind of take the lead, and it worked out well.
Well, actually, you didn't sit back at all. You were 100% a part of this process. And I think the ease with which you're describing that all of us will feel, because we're working with each other and we're all on the same path, you know, we're growing and developing together, and we know what's expected on both ends in both roles. It's clear that you and Nicole have done some practice time together, but it's equal. It's totally equal. She didn't do all the work and you didn't do all the work. It was a collaborative process that was just this beautiful dance to witness, to in 15 minutes have her feel such a sense of relief is what I heard at the end, which to me was really the aha moment, just came at the end, a relief that this burden was somehow lifted by the support of your coaching. So I just invite you to take that in. Great job, ladies. A little bit of feedback from me is that great clarifying of the agenda and superb acknowledgments of Nicole. I love how you engaged her in would you like to explore what this looks like? I mean, just the powerful questions kept coming and coming to allow Nicole to go deeper. One area that I think I would have gone down if it were me in that moment would be to, we kind of talked about this a little bit in our session today. Nicole clearly said a few times that she feels so frustrated. And I think you did ask a question about, I'm not sure I can recall that exactly about the frustration, but I would have asked her if she wanted to explore the frustration a little bit more. Would it be okay to explore the frustration a little bit more? What does that look like? What does that feel like? Where in the past has that shown up for you? So she can begin to connect the patterns of how frustration shows up in her life. And then even more importantly, remind herself that she has the tools to clearly surmount the frustration by whatever it is, by being in action, by distilling it down, by brainstorming. Are all of you understanding that piece?
Mm-hmm.
Not being afraid, not being resistant on our parts to go to the place of resistance on our clients, to be able to be in their discomfort, to be able to be in their process with them no matter what shows up. So, again, the powerful questions were there, and you elicited the responses that were already in Nicole. But another component that I really want you guys to wrap your minds around and your arms around is to explore the places that you feel the client is holding back or resisting or emotional or whatever. That's a piece of it. It's so intertwined. Okay. What else? Instead of saying at the very end, would you be okay if I followed up with you? I would just say that question in a different way, because that's really a yes or no question. Rather put it on Nicole, what time frame would work best for me to follow up with you? And I think that would speak to a little bit more of the specifics of what Brandy and Olga were speaking to. Okay, so we are always out of time. Okay, the homework piece is a little bit involved. I'm just going to let you guys do it on your own, and we'll tackle that next week. But on page 145 and 146, we're going to begin crafting our undeniable benefit statements. You can read all about that on those two pages, in addition to more reading on page 213 through 220. Another piece of your homework, if you have time, I'm not going to make this a requirement, but if you want extra credit, if you do craft your UB statement, which an example of that is on page 146 in the middle of the page, Share it with a stranger. So if you are in line in the bank or the grocery store, you strike up a conversation with someone and the opportunity's there, like, what do you do? What do you do? Maybe you can or challenge yourself to practice your undeniable benefit statement. And we'll get more into this next week. Okay? Are we good?
Yeah, I won't be here for the next 2 weeks, so I will catch up with you guys in 3 weeks from today.
We will miss you. Make sure you listen to the recordings and reach out to me so I can catch you up. And you guys have an awesome week, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you, Tasha.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thank
Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Namaste.